In this reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, Peter heals a disabled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Reading is from Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. In this story, Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, where he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Everyone knows Garfield, the cat. Garfield has been one of the most famous American comic strip characters since 1976, created by the American cartoonist Jim Davis, who is now age 80, and still actively brings laughter and smiles to everyone, not only in the U.S., but also across the world every day. I know that one of the Garfield's favorite Bible verses is what Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Yes, whenever he tries to justify his laziness and idleness, he quotes, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." This well-known verse is actually from this morning's Gospel of Matthew text on Jesus praying in Gethsemane. When Jesus said, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak," he was addressing human vulnerability in the face of temptation and hardship. Yes, Jesus spoke these words in the Garden of Gethsemane to his disciples, who kept falling asleep instead of praying with him before his arrest. Let me show you a public domain artwork entitled The Agony in the Garden, 1455, painted by the Italian Renaissance painter Andrea Mantegna. It depicts Jesus praying in the Gethsemane while the disciples sleep and Judas leads the mob. It was one of the most critical and anxious times for Jesus and even for his disciples. Jesus faced intense emotional and spiritual agony before his crucifixion. However, rather than staying awake and praying, the disciples repeatedly, yes, three times, fell asleep due to exhaustion and sorrow. What poor souls with tired bodies they must have been. Of course, Jesus acknowledged the battle between good intentions and physical limits. The human heart, desire, and intellect want to do what is right. But human nature, physical tiredness, and moral frailty make it hard to follow through. So, Jesus' harsh yet profound words, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak," are a serious warning that good intentions alone are not enough to resist temptation. Jesus emphasized that prayer is necessary to strengthen spirituality to overcome the human weakness. Yes, spiritual vigilance is necessary. Staying spiritually alert prevents sudden moral failure. So, one of the best ways to stay alive spiritually is prayer. Simply through prayer, as a means of grace, you can draw strength and discernment from God. This year's Vacation Bible School theme was Snowball Mountain Challenge, Find Your Strength in God. And Philippians 4:13 was the main scripture basis. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So with this topic and scripture, our children learned five important lessons. Day one, I can share my gifts. Day two, I can be brave. Day three, I can give my all. Day four, I can pray. And day five, I can hope. As you can see, day four's theme was, I can pray. Yes, our children have learned how to pray as they are formulating their own faith. Prayer and faith always go together. Moreover, day five's theme was, I can hope. This theme was based on this morning's scripture reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, about the story of Peter and John at the temple and the healing of a disabled beggar. Verse 6 is the key verse here. Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. This miracle story is not about Peter's healing power capability per se, but God's mighty healing power is shown on the beggar through Peter being an instrument of God. All healing comes from God. One of the most important observations is that this disabled beggar did not want to be healed on a whim. Even though he was barely surviving his miserable life by begging money or food, he knew and believed in God who can heal him. He must be always longing for the day of healing by God. He was embracing the hope that was based on his faith. Here, he initially begged for alms, which means basically money or food or something, some other essential things to survive. But by the grace of God, he got an amazingly better answer. He got the ultimate and best lifetime gift of healing. And he became the living proof of Almighty God's power over life to so many people. Yes, verse 10, and they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. After all, an important lesson from this story is embracing a life of hope and faith. Know that God is walking with you always. Yes, just as prayer and faith go together, hope and faith work together. Today we are celebrating graduations and promotions. Again, congratulations to all the class of 2026 graduates for your accomplishment and everyone who is promoted for your advancement. However, your graduation, your promotion is not the end. It's another new beginning. It's a brand new life journey. So, in order to make your life, new life, truly more meaningful and happier, you must embrace hope and faith together and move forward. These two words, hope and faith, are closely related, and even sometimes they might be and could be used interchangeably. As a matter of fact, these two concepts are deeply intertwined. However, each of these terms needs to be distinguished. While hope is the desire for a specific outcome, faith is the trust or confidence that it will happen. Think of hope as the wish, and hope, faith, as the engine powering your belief that the wish is possible as long as you are pursuing God's will and God's vision for you. The writer of the book of Hebrews well defines faith like this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In this sense, hope and faith always go together and work together. Furthermore, embracing hope and faith does not apply or limit only to the Vacation Bible School children, graduates, or certain people. It is for everyone who follows Jesus, including you and me. We all are familiar with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yes, this verse was the key verse for this year's Vacation Bible School. It is Apostle Paul's declaration of a spiritual power and resilience. However, it is not a blanket promise that you can achieve any goal or wish. It is not one of those overly stated verses out of context that are misused or abused by some people. Its context focuses on enduring hardship and finding contentment in Christ regardless of your circumstances. Simply, it's a significant call for us to embrace hope and faith. Let me share with you an amazing true story that happened in August 2010. You might remember this story too. The whole world was heartbreaking when hearing the news of a copper and gold mine collapsed in San Jose, Chile, trapping 33 men nearly half a mile underground. For 17 days, rescue crews drilled blindly into the rock, finding nothing. Above ground, at a makeshift camp village named Campamento Esperanza, Camp Hope, families refused to leave. Their faith was tested every single day, but they held on to belief that their loved ones were still alive. Deep underground, the miners faced unimaginable darkness, starvation, and fear. Yet, their foreman, Luis Urruza, organized them. They rationed their meager supplies, a few spoonfuls of tuna and sips of milk every 48 hours. They also designated a specific time every day to gather in the dark, hold hands, and pray. On day 17, a drill finally broke through. When the rescue team pulled it up, a note was taped to the drill bit. It read in Spanish, "Estamos bien en refugio, los 33. We are well in the shelter, the 33. That simple message of hope triggered a massive global rescue effort, and 69 days after the collapse, every single miner was brought to the surface alive. What sustained those men in the darkest depth of the earth was not just the meager rations. It was the unbreakable bond of hope and the faith that they were not forgotten. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine yourselves being trapped in complete darkness without food for 68 days? It was indeed God's miracle that all 33 men were able to survive and none of them died. My sisters and brothers in Christ, in our own lives, we often find ourselves trapped in mines, the dark, suffocating tunnels of grief, illness, financial ruin, broken relationships, or deep uncertainty. It is easy to lose heart when we cannot see the way out. But faith is not the absence of darkness. It is the absolute assurance that the light is still there even when we cannot see it. Just as the rescue teams kept drilling above ground, God is working behind the scenes on our behalf. My friends in Christ, our Heavenly Father hears our prayers always, even in the dark. Let us hold on to the unwavering hope and faith that no matter how deep the pit, help and deliverance are on the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.